This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, maybe we won't send him straight to Cooperstown. Chase Burns apparently is a human, as he has just given up a solo homer in the top of the fourth inning. Ben Rice just took the phenom deep to right field at Great American Ballpark, as seven strikeouts so far, but he is trailing Will Hill 1-0, as now Aaron Judge will step to the plate against Chase Burns in his MLB debut. Seven strikeouts so far. I want to get to this tweet before we welcome on Jeff Sherman. Chase Burns of the Reds, according to OptiStats, is the only pitcher in the last 50 years to strike out the first five batters he faced in his MLB debut. And right now, it is 1-0 Yankees after a solo homer to lead off the top of the fourth inning, Will.
Been impressive. Again, down to plus 450. It was just 100-1 Saturday night. Some of the books were slow to the switch when it was announced he got called up. NL Rookie of the Year is wide open, so not going to cash that ticket after three or four innings here. But all you can do when it's 100-1 is find something that is reasonable, that has a path. And that's one that certainly looks like a good bet so far, and he has been a lot of fun to watch. Not much fun to be an NL Central hitter. How about that? You got to deal with Skeens. Now Mizorowski comes in. Now Burns comes in. There's a lot of live arms, hard throwers in the National League Central now.
Yeah, there really is. So as we take a little sidestep here from Major League Baseball to the NBA, welcome on Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook, joins us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. A lot of movement in the NBA, Jeff, so let's get to it from an odds standpoint. We'll start with the most recent move, which is the Boston Celtics have now shipped off Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. They've saved a ton of money, I believe $180 million off of the luxury tax, but what has that done for you guys at the Westgate Superbook from an odds standpoint next year?
I was sitting at 18-1 for the title on them, and I bumped them up to 25 after the most recent Porzingis trade. And, they might not be done yet. They did get under the second apron now, but we'll have to see what other maneuvers they make. But sitting at 25-1 right now, a little bit higher than other places.
Jeff, what's it been like monitoring these odds, these Eastern Conference odds? It's it was an awkward, just bizarre night, Sunday game seven. We're all excited to watch the game. And then 7 minutes in, Halpern, after a bunch of made threes, goes down. And, not only does it affect that game, but there's a domino effect now of the Eastern Conference, very similar to when Tatum got hurt. How do you evaluate the big picture here? Eastern Conference, very depleted. And I know you and I were just talking between the break. There's one team that is jumping out to you that you think might have some value.
Yeah, I mean, the East crazy next year. It's so gettable for any of these teams. You talk about these Achilles injuries with Halliburton happening on Sunday, Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard. So, you throw those into the equation and it's so wide open. And so you look at, obviously, the Cavs and Knicks starting at the top. Orlando made a nice move for Desmond Bane, so they've been adjusted. But like you mentioned, I'm looking at in relation that all these other teams are moving, but the Philadelphia 76ers are staying put in their odds. And I'm at 25-1 for the title and 9-1 for the East. And there's higher than that out there. And, I've been on them in previous years with no luck, but obviously the whole question is Embiid's health. But, he's had plenty of recovery time. And if he can be healthy, the rest of this team, you get Paul George back healthy. You have McCain coming back from missing most of the year last year and the number three pick. They have as much talent on the court as anybody in the East. And they're sitting in the 35-1 range for the title and 12-1 for the East, which to me is misproportionate.
Jeff Sherman joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line, talking a little NBA odds moves. I'm just curious for you, and I know you did take a little nibble on 40-1 for the Sixers to win the title. As you look at it from a risk standpoint, odds standpoint, what would make those odds move even more tomorrow night? Would you like to see them move that third pick? It does seem like as of now, they're going to stick and pick, and the odds would tell us it's going to be VJ Edgecombe, the guard out of Baylor. What would you like to see them do now as a investor in the Philadelphia 76ers futures market?
No, I think that'd be fine. Either direction they go, whether they keep the third one and add him or they make a trade to do something now, would be fine, because what I think is going to happen, you're going to have everyone go through and analyze the drafts. And when they do, and they go through this roster, they're going to realize in the East how well this roster is put together to compete this next season. And I think over this next week, you're naturally going to see the Sixers odds dip to 25 or even 20-1.
Jeff, how about the draft? Is this something that, you know, you have to monitor from a futures perspective? Have you guys booked this stuff? I know it's hard to keep up with the information, but what's it been like monitoring the draft and all the rumors that as we get going just a couple days here after a game seven, really condensed NBA schedule?
Yeah, this is one draft that we don't book. You know, we stopped a few years ago on it, but, you know, pretty much with Cooper Flagg going to Dallas, and that's already baked into the odds for their future odds. And it would take a draft day trade for something else to really shape that. There's not going to be, if it's a straight draft with minimal trades, you're not going to see too much movement in the futures odds. So it might take a draft day trade for a team to move up and veterans to move around if you want to see some movement in the futures odds.
Jeff Sherman once again joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. So already Jeff mentioned the adjustment that they've made over at the Westgate Superbook regarding the Boston Celtics, was they have already shipped off Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. Jason Tatum, of course, out all of next year. What have you guys done with the Houston Rockets as they make the blockbuster on Saturday to go out and get, or Sunday, excuse me, to go out and get Kevin Durant? What were their odds prior to the Durant trade, and what did you guys move them to?
Well, I opened them at 14-1, aggressively low, because I figured them and San Antonio had the ability to make something happen. And then when Durant gave out his preferred destination as them being one, I went 12-1. Once the trade happened, I went down to 10, saw a little bit of support at 10, and settled them at 9-1, which is where they sit now. So not too much movement, relatively speaking, just because they were one of the teams to be on the lookout for. You know, you weren't going to find 25 in that range out there when they first opened up, just because of how aggressive they intended to be.
Can you remember a scenario where there was this much of an imbalance between the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference? I was looking at one book that I think had the Pistons 60-1 to win the whole thing, but only like 15-1 to win the East. Usually a lot of times, I should say, you can just split that in half, but this is about as imbalanced as it gets, don't you think?
Yeah. Of all my years doing this, I don't recall that, because like you said, you know, when I got the conferences up and you look at the East and the odds are much less than half of what their title odds are. And then you go to the West and everybody's odds are greater than half of what their title odds are because they have to go through OKC. So it's, I can't recall in all the years of doing this, such an imbalance here. Like I mentioned, how gettable the East is, that I think, you know, through the summer and even through the trade deadline in February, you're going to see these teams in the East really trying to position themselves to get out of this, because it's one year that, you know, you can repeat something like the Pacers did and at least put yourself in position getting in the finals.
Well, you mentioned the Pacers, and what did you guys do after game seven with the Halliburton news? How much did you adjust them in your odds market?
Yeah, I was sitting at 12-1 for the title. And then when I saw him go down, you know, you figured what it was. So I moved him up to 40-1. And right when I did that, I actually took a $400 wager on him of 40-1 for next year's title. And when all things settled now and looking through the conferences, I bumped him up to 60, which is where I currently sit now.
How about the Thunder? Is this going to be a team where people, you know, say, you know what, they're young, they're great, I'm going to take the 2-1 plus 2-1 payout, maybe a little bit higher, and I think that's a good bet anyway? Or is it just too cheap, it's too far away, and you're going to be okay leaving the Thunder there at the 2-1 odds where they are, even though they're the best team?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to see people tie their money up on short odds like that for so long, that I think you're going to see those Thunder bets show up maybe in the second half of the season if their odds don't fluctuate too much from where they are right now. And, you know, you have to remember that they're getting the Topic kid that missed all last year, the first round draft pick, to add to this team. So with their growth age wise and adding him, they can be even that much better. But, you know, when you open them such short odds, the liability doesn't add up too quickly. We'll be in a good position on them throughout the season. But I don't think you're going to see, you know, 12 months in advance, people tying their money up at 2-1.
Jeff Sherman, once again, joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Jeff, she's on the court tonight. Caitlin Clark in Seattle catching 3.5. Anything you like in the final WNBA game tonight?
Now, the Fever have had a tough stretch, and especially now with Dawana Bonner saying that she wants to leave the team. So, you know, it's tough for the Fever there. So I understand this road trip that, you know, catching the 3.5, but I didn't get involved myself.
Jeff, is it a countdown to football now? Will people, is this the time of the year where people start firing in their season win totals, their futures for NFL? Is it too early, or is now about the right time here as we're, you know, a month, 5 weeks from the Hall of Fame game?
Oh, it's 12 months that we get this stuff. And, you know, like we have the exact up of team A to beat team B in the Super Bowl, and that gets action every day. We just got up weeks 2 through 18 the other day, and we're already seeing support there. So anything NFL related gets action every single day.
He's Jeff Sherman. He's the VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. Always appreciate it, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jeff Sherman.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Apparently, he is human, and runs have been scored. A poorly played ball in center field has led to multiple runs here for the New York Yankees. So, a inning for Chase Burns. He gives up 3 runs. He gave up a homer and then an RBI double, I believe, or an RBI triple is what it's going to be called, as the center fielder for Cincinnati dove and the ball got behind him. So 7 strikeouts for Burns, 4 innings so far. The Yankees do lead 3-0. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. We'll get you updated on all the baseball action going on, as well as an update from Detroit. A bit surprising to see these runs flying in as the Tigers and A's underway after an hour rain delay.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, let's get you updated. We got a lot going on. Great stuff from Jeff Sherman, as when he saw Tyrese Halliburton go down, he moved from 12-1 out to 40-1, and now they sit at 60-1 over at the Westgate Superbook. So some interesting odd movement there. He was also preemptive on the Rockets, so anticipated that. You know what? I'm going to blame you first and then Jeff second when this bet doesn't come home, but I did it, Will. I'm in. Sixers 12-1 to win the Eastern Conference. I'm in.
All right. What could possibly go wrong? That was the best number out there. Is it 12-1 to win the East?
Best number I saw. FanDuel and DraftKings both had it at 12-1. So, let me ask you this, a philosophical question. We got to get to updates on baseball. Sure. We're going to get to here in just a moment. But you look at Philadelphia right now, 35-1 to win the title, 12-1 to win the East. What would you prefer to bet?
It's a great question. Normally the 35-1, figuring, you know what, if they're good enough to get to the finals, they're not going to be that big of an underdog. But OKC is such a dominant force that, and there's such an imbalance between the West and the East that the East is such a significant underdog. So I don't have much of a preference. I would say, you know, again, it depends what you're betting. If you're betting, let's just say I want to bet a unit on it. Maybe it's just split a half a unit where, all right, put half the unit on the 12-1, half a unit on the 35-1. And by the time I get to the conference finals, I can start to really lock in a profit, because, you know, if you only have the 35-1, then you can't really, you could hedge in the conference finals, but then you're really starting to dip into your profit. So I'd probably say a little bit on each, which I know is a cop out, but if you told me I could only bet one, I'd probably just go for the safer one, the 12-1, and not be in a situation. Cause like if you had the Pacers this year and you took some crazy odds, you had them, whatever number, okay, you can lay the 700 with the OKC and you're getting a profit, but who wants to hedge a minus 700 the other way?
Right.
And you don't want to be in that position where you want to just either cash your ticket at 12-1 or put yourself in a position to more reasonably hedge instead of having to go into laying a 700, you know, minus 700 favorite if that was your inclination going into the finals.
All right, let's update people on baseball. Unfortunately, you were on fire yesterday. Unfortunately, your best bet did not come home here, as I don't know what the heck is going on. You waited for an hour, in Detroit, and we had four runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty uncharacteristic first inning there. So taking a look at what unfolded there, 2-2 as we head to the second inning, and we had a pair of two-run homers, one from the A's and one from the Detroit Tigers, as the Tigers got a homer from Kerry Carpenter. So 2-2 after one inning there in Detroit. Let me ask you this. So this was a pregame total of, what were we looking at here? 8.5, I think.
What's that, Tigers and A's?
Yeah.
I think a little lower. I think 7.5.
Okay. Yeah, 7.5 juiced under. So we got a pair of solo two-run homers. Do we look under 10.5 now?
I just don't know. I mean, I made the bet, so I'm not going to like backtrack, because I made the bet. I lost money on it. Scooble's velocity, even last time out against the Pirates, he was okay, but he wasn't dominant. And now tonight, I don't see what the radar gun was, but for him to get hit this early is a little concerning. I just worry he might be a little off the last couple starts, whatever,
okay,
you know, for whatever reason, midseason fatigue. So that would be enough. And again, we talked about this yesterday, and it's worth repeating, people that, you know, just joining us, just jumping in. The weather around the country, it's 100 degrees everywhere. So the ball's going to be flying. The ball's going to be carrying. So not like not cutting in line here to bet unders, even though, you know, I know you're the same way. Unders usually a good way to go, at least for me. I like betting unders. Baseball, a lot of these sports, when it's 100 degrees out, those unders. Now, you still got to get a hold of the ball. You got to hit it properly. But that's – the weather is not an under's best friend the way it is now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. When it is hot and it's humid, the ball will fly all around the ballparks. All right, the game of the night for us, the VSiN primetime game of the night. It's been enjoyable so far. And the Yankees, as of right now, getting the best of rookie sensation for the Cincinnati Reds, as Chase Burns has 7 strikeouts through 4 innings. However, he did just give up 3 runs in the top of the 4th inning, as we had a solo homer in that first inning from Ben Rice. And then also we saw Anthony Volpe come up with a 2-run triple misplayed by the center fielder. Give us an update real quickly, Will, on the rookie of the year market in the NL after this, after these first 4 innings from Chase Burns.
Well, Saturday night, right around 11 o'clock midnight on the East Coast, Jeff Paston with the tweet that Chase Burns, the highly coveted, highly prized prospect, will be making his debut Tuesday against the Yankees. And I searched around. I said, you know, a National League Rookie of the Year. I'm curious, because that's a wide open race, 100-1. And it wasn't 100-1 for a minute or 2 minutes. It was a good half hour or so. Slowly 60-1. The next morning, 20-1. After 3 innings here, 4 innings, whatever it is, where he's given up 3 runs. I mean, he's pitching well. The stuff is there. He is at it was just plus 300 at FanDuel. It is now plus 340 at FanDuel. DraftKings, for whatever reason, has taken these down during the games. But from 100-1 on Saturday, Tuesday is about 4 days later, plus 340. So quite the move here on Burns. And, again, wide open market. Mizorowski's thrown 10, 11 innings. Yeah, they've been an impressive 10, 11 innings. He was 2-1 to win this award. So I don't know what's right or wrong. I mean, I wouldn't be like, dying to bet the 3-1 or plus 340, but it just goes to show you, if you don't have to be that like sharp of a bettor, have this intuitiveness. You just have to be, aware of the odds and just be on your phone and just nimble, I guess is the word, where you see the tweet, you think of it, and then 100-1, and then it moves to 3-1. You just kind of hope over the long haul, the CLV will get you home. It doesn't always matter. It doesn't, you know, even most of the time matter, but just fascinating that you can get such a dramatic move here that quickly.
Yeah. And is he at 3-1? Is he now the betting favorite in the NL?
It's a good question. It was Mizorowski at 2-1. I can pull up the odds here. He is, I gotta reload. Let me relook at the odds. So I don't know. I know he's out here for the fifth.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Burns is plus 340, and Mizorowski is plus 180 right now. The Brewers starting pitcher who will start tomorrow against Paul Skeens. That'll be a fun one there. All right.
So those are the 1 and 2? Those are the two short shots?
Those are the two short shots, and then Drake Baldwin of the Braves is plus 350.
Yeah. Hard to bet it at 3-1 or 2-1. I mean, that's too far gone. Again, if you're cashing a plus 340 ticket, if it wins, that's a nice number. But it just feels like after 3 or 4 innings to get plus 340, I don't know, especially with the way these pitchers get hurt. It's just not, that's not enough bang for your buck.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And you've got a great ticket right now, regardless of what happens, to have the foresight on that. And I will tip my cap to you, sir, because you told me something seems off a little bit with Tarik Skubal. So I did not go in from an in-game standpoint. And thankfully I didn't, because Denzel Clark just hit a 2-run homer for the Oakland A's. So they are for the A's, I should say. They now lead 4-2 in the top of the second inning. So Skubal is certainly off the mark here this evening as the A's hit
there. I'd be curious to pull up his velocity. I'm gonna look at his velocity now, because that's just, look, everyone has bad starts or whatever, but for him to be getting hit that hard, that's unusual, to say the least. So yeah, 4 runs early. I mean, that's a month's worth of runs. Is this something where we should be looking at the Cy Young? If something's wrong with him, if he's off again, people are going to have bad starts. But let's see, 96.9 on the fastball. That's good, but that's not Skubal-like. He's usually, you know, up around triple digits. He's usually 99. So that is a dip. Just looking at some of these velocities, 97, 96, 97. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but oh, something's wrong with him. He's only throwing 96 or 97, but that is a couple ticks down from where he usually is. And maybe we start to look at the Cy Young market in the AL and think maybe he's vulnerable. He's not himself. And maybe that leaves an opportunity somewhere else in the futures market.
What about the AL MVP market? Because, you know, we talked about it last night as Cal Raleigh hit his 32nd home run of the season, and here tonight doesn't have a home run, but already an RBI single as the Mariners lead 3-0. This could be interesting, don't you think, in the AL, or do you still think this is a runaway for Aaron Judge, who is minus 1300 right now at FanDuel?
You're the minus 1300. It's like the Skubal velocity, man. It's come down to minus 1300 because it was higher.
Yeah.
Judge is the favorite. He's the rightful favorite. Obviously, there's no value on him there. I think it'll be a race. And when you got a catcher who's hit 32 homers and we're not even, you know, got a week left in June, that guy's in the race. And we were talking about this last night. I think it's a fascinating question. What number, barring injury from Judge, which is the easy answer, what numbers does Rowie need to get to win this award or be seriously considered? Not forget seriously considered, to win this award. If he hits 68, 70 homers, you got to think about giving it to him depending on what Judge does. But he's firmly in the race. This is not just a talking point, which I think we can get to sometimes with content where it's like, oh, this guy's got a shot, when he really doesn't, like Jalen Williams, finals MVP. Rowie's got a shot. Those are MVP-type numbers. Does he ultimately win? I'm not sure. Would I bet him at this number? I'm not sure. But he's putting up the kind of numbers that are absolutely putting him in the conversation.
Hey, folks, time's running out. Enter to win a free entry into Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest proxy service included. $21 million in guaranteed prizes up for grabs. The deadline is tomorrow, Wednesday, June 25th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSIN. An interesting report out of Philadelphia for the NBA draft.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Chase Burns, 8 strikeouts through 5 innings in his major league debut. However, the Yankees did score 3 runs off of him in the top of the 4th inning. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSIN Primetime. Coming up top of the hour, Will, the man known as Vegas Refund, Luke Swain, going to jump on the program. He does a remarkable job when it comes to betting drafts. Loves betting the NFL draft, and he did exceptionally well this year, 11-1. And he also will have good insight on the NBA draft. So we'll have him on coming up top of the hour, as we've seen a decent amount of movement in some of these betting markets. And before we get to that, an interesting tweet out there. I did want to circle back to this performance that we're seeing in our VSiN Primetime game of the night. Once again, Chase Burns making his debut, the 2nd overall pick in 2024. And on Sunday, I retweeted it at Not The Will Hill. I just retweeted it. I know you did as well. The odds for Chase Burns to win NL Rookie of the Year were 100-1, Will. And right now, I look at FanDuel, Chase Burns plus 340, only behind Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah, and I bet this at DraftKings, and I'm not a huge cash out guy usually, because the cash out, if you want to hedge, there's usually better ways to do it. And the cash out is usually just not fair from a math standpoint. But this is one 100-1 that a few days later is 3-1. I would at least look at it. At least, you know what, I'd consider it, even if didn't end up pulling the trigger, but no cash out offered, at least at the moment. So keep an eye on it. It's a good bet based on the fact that the lines move so much, but you know what? Good bets don't always get home, and a long way to go. Guys got to stay healthy and be the best pitcher. Mizorowski's really good. So this bet, even though I feel good about the bet I made, is a long, long way to cash. And even if ever did cash, they basically wait until, you know, Valentine's Day in Major League Baseball to announce these awards. It's ridiculous how long it takes. So happy I have the bet. We'll keep an eye on it. But Rodon, the other pitcher in this game, has pitched really well here. 3-0, a pitcher's duel here, two outs in the fifth. And another game we haven't mentioned too much, Frankie Montas going against the Mets, going for the Mets. Yep. I believe this is Mets debut. I'm pretty sure it is. Against the Braves, Mets have really been scuffling. 8 out of 9, I think they've lost. They played horribly. Just lost 4 in a row to the Braves. Swept last week by the Braves. Lost 2 out of 3 to Philly. Swept by the Rays. They've been bad. In Montas, it goes to show you can handicap these games till you're blue in the face. There's some uncertainty because Strider started to pitch better. Montas has gotten destroyed in his rehab starts. I think 6 rehab starts in the minors, which is a lot of rehab starts to make. His numbers are awful. He's come up 5 shutout innings so far, 4 2/3 shutout innings, as it's 3-0 Mets, 2 outs in the fifth. So big game for the Mets to maybe get back on track here. They have really played some bad baseball. And Texas is up 4-0 on Baltimore, another game we haven't touched too much about, or talked too much about. Morton going for the Orioles. He's pitched much better of late after being basically the worst pitcher in baseball the first couple months of the season. He's really rebounded and been solid the last month, 6 weeks. But I believe, at least last I looked, we'll pull it up now, Jacob Latz, the lefty, going for the Rangers, had a no-hitter here into the seventh inning. It is still 4-0. We are in the seventh as I'm pulling it up. Yeah, so we're going to the bottom of the seventh. Latz, who's more like an opener, bulk guy, he's finally stretched out. I believe he's still in the game here. But the Orioles, 6 innings so far, no hits. Latz with 79 pitches is still in the game. We'll see. You know, 3 innings to go. Will they let him? He's probably going to get bit by the pitch count here. Yeah. I don't know that he's going to get a chance to complete it, but he does have a no-no going.
Yeah, and one of the screens up here, so that certainly will keep my attention on that one. 4-0, no hits yet for the Orioles as they got the win yesterday. Coming up here in just a little bit, we've got the Dodgers and the Rockies. Dodgers a -261 favorite at Coors Field, a total of 12 in that one at some shops. So Dodgers and Rockies coming up here in just a little bit. And best price out there, Dodgers -235 here at Circa. And if you look at the run line in this one, that is down to, it's a 2-run run line, -115 for the Dodgers against the Rockies. All right, let's get to...
It's a little cheap, isn't it? Doesn't that seem a little cheap? I was surprised. I hear Dodgers, Rockies. I mean, I know it's in Coors, but that favors the Dodgers with the better lineup. And I was looking, maybe team total is a way to go. The team total, you don't see this every day. 7.5 for a team total. Man. I know it's Coors. I know you get your 9 at-bats, and I want no part of the under, but unusual to see. But, man, I know a lot of listeners aren't going to say, oh, yeah, I'm excited to lay 235 in a baseball game. Anything can happen. I don't know. It just does seem a little lighter, a little cheaper than I thought.
All right, well, let's update you folks here. Chase Burns is done for the day. 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 1 homer, no walks, 8 strikeouts for Chase Burns. Not a bad MLB debut. He struck out the first 5 batters that he faced. He had 6 strikeouts through the first 2 innings. Finishes with 8 strikeouts. And, I would be very curious, Will, to know what the strikeout prop will be for his second start. As you said, Today it was, 4.5, blew past that. How much do the books adjust after we see one start from Chase Burns?
You can't go too crazy based on one start, but you got to adjust it. I mean, you got to adjust it at least to strikeout 5.5. You know, 6.5 is really reserved. 6.5 and up is really reserved for the better pitcher. So I don't know that it'll be 6.5, but maybe 5.5 and maybe the juice to the over, just kind of, you know, making it unappealing to bet the over 5.5. Just say it's like over 5.5, but the over is -150, -160, where it makes you really think twice. Where look, a lot of people are going to look at it, oh, he's easily going to get 6 plus strikeouts. He's unbelievable. And it might be true, but they're going to at least make you pay some extra juice. I don't know if they quite go to 6.5 again. It depends. I haven't looked here what his next matchup is, but I don't know. That final line is not going to do justice. That final line, people will read that and say, oh, 5 innings, 3 runs, and that's not that great, but I don't know. That's his performance was better than his line, I would say.
All right, let's get to this report coming out of Philadelphia. So the Philadelphia 76ers own the third overall pick. Right now, the betting market favors VJ Edgecombe to be the selection for the Sixers. Once again, Matt Eumanns and myself will be on VSiN tomorrow night giving you a special NBA draft special. Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer, says, quote, sources say the Washington Wizards hope Ace Bailey's refusal to work out for teams during the pre-draft process will cause him to slide. A source said Washington benefited from the same approach last season with Alex Sarr. The French player refused to work out for the Atlanta Hawks, who had the first pick. After the Hawks passed on the projected number one pick, Washington selected him. The Wizards have been impressed by the 18-year-old Bailey for some time. Sources say they're not concerned about his perceived poor shot selection this season at Rutgers. Some Washington executives had Bailey rated higher than number one pick Cooper Flagg in high school. Interesting note there. And right now at DraftKings, the number six market, which is the Wizards' current selection, now they could trade up. That's certainly a possibility. So that you have to keep in mind when you're betting these markets. Is plus 150 worth enough of a bet, or juicy enough for you to bet it? Or does this one report not come all the way home for you?
The former wouldn't be enough for me. I can understand taking the plus money. And look, somebody's going to take them. And, you know, way back when Kobe Bryant wouldn't work out for the Nets and all these different teams, he really strong armed his way to the Lakers. Not saying in any way that this kid's Kobe Bryant, obviously. But when you have the talent he has, even though if there's questions, which there seem to be, and representation, team didn't do well in college, somebody's going to take him. It's the NBA where there's only five guys on the court. You want that even 10, 20% chance at a superstar. So somebody's going to take a chance on him and take a chance on him early. This isn't Shedeur Sanders. We're not going to be sitting here on Thursday night saying, man, 48th pick in the draft, nobody's taking him. Somebody's taking him, probably taking him in the top 10. So Wizards make sense. I don't know, plus 150 would need a little more, but I could certainly understand it. What do you want? You're a Wizards guy, right? You're a Wizards fan. Is fan too strong? Do you want him? Who's your ideal guy at six, if, you know, based on the relative possibilities here?
So real quickly, Jonathan Givony reported, I think, yesterday that the preferred destinations for Ace Bailey are the Wizards, Pelicans, and Nets. That would be 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah. He wants to shoot.
You know, I'll say this about Ace Bailey. You've got the sixth pick, and the Wizards are headed nowhere fast. You see, the option was just picked up from Chris Middleton. We'll see. The CJ McCollum trade, was it a trade? Is he going to play there this year, or is it just, you know, will they ship him, reroute him elsewhere? I'm kind of the mindset that you mentioned. You know, if it's a high upside and you think he could hit, I think it's worth the risk. That would be the way I would look at it. So, yeah, I don't know.
If it's him or Trey Johnson, who do you prefer?
I love Trey Johnson. Me too. I think I would go Trey Johnson. I think you know what you're getting. I think getting an elite shooter is always something that I'm going to probably pivot more in that direction. Hey, folks, if you're ready to get in on the action, First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day, right from your home or computer. Visit firstbet.com, that's the number one, stbet.com, and use the promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, we're not going to get a no-hitter in Baltimore, and we might not even get a Texas Rangers win, as the Orioles have scored 4 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning. And just like that, we were wondering if Jacob Latz, who had a no-hitter through 6 innings, could how deep would he ultimately go? Well, at the end of the day, it wasn't nearly deep enough, as the Baltimore Orioles have now tied this game up at 4 apiece. The big swing of the bat coming from former Yankee Gary Sanchez, a 3-run homer in this bottom of the seventh inning. And also we heard another homer from Ramon Urias. So 4-4 at Camden Yards. No outs, by the way, in that bottom of the seventh inning.
Life comes at you quick, huh? 4-0 to a tie game. 4-0 with a no-hitter bottom seventh to a tie game just like that. So that's baseball. Cubs leading the Cardinals 5-4 in the fourth. So, again, a lot of these ballparks with the conditions and hitting, you're seeing some offense here. Not that you want to just blindly play overs, because you're seeing some good pitching matchups. Scoreless Philly and Houston World Series rematch from a couple years ago. Arizona and the White Sox are 1-1 in the fifth. So, not that these are just automatic plays to the to the over, but just keep it in mind with your props, with your totals. The ball is certainly carrying here the last couple of days with how hot it's been throughout the country. How hot is it in Vegas? Is it your usual, 110, 115?
It's actually relatively cool. It was like 92 today. Early morning walk with the dog was lovely. Had a nice little breeze. Okay. So, we are not in the midst of your normal 115 or anything like that. The ball flying in Milwaukee, and they lead now 6-0 on the eve of Paul Skeens versus Jacob Mizorowski. So, looking forward to watching that tomorrow afternoon. I do a radio show every week, every morning in Milwaukee, the Bob and Brian show. I was trying to pressure the two hosts to go to the game. I'm like, what else are you going to do? It's an afternoon game. Come on, go catch the baseball game after sure. work. So I'm seeing if I can convince those two gentlemen to head out to AmFam Field tomorrow afternoon for quite the pitching matchup.
What's it called? What's the name of the field?
American Family Financial Field.
Oh, man, some of these names, I don't know. I know they get the sponsors involved, but... I don't know. I've lost track, and I know all of the stuff about all these teams, and you hear these buildings. I can't keep up with the stadiums, the buildings, and all these sports. Just feels like they're always changing. I know this is my old man, get off my lawn, sort of rant here, but I don't know. They don't do it for me.
So I just texted a buddy of mine who he doesn't cover the Wizards anymore. He still works in the media, but, I asked him if he had heard anything regarding Ace Bailey, and then we talked about the Keith Pompey report, and he said he's not buying it. So he talked about how the front office is in Washington, a lot of Sam Presti disciples. So he's just not buying, not necessarily buying that they wouldn't draft Ace Bailey, but more so that there are people in the know of what is going to happen. He doesn't believe that that front office is leaking.
Who does he think they're taking?
He didn't really say anything. He said he believes they want to trade up for VJ Edgecombe, but certainly if the odds are true, that doesn't seem like it'll happen, and Philadelphia will stick and pick. Speaking of which, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Was that Doug Collins that told you that? Who was that?
Randy Whitman, actually. Me and old Randy Whitman, the former coach of the Wizards, very close friends.
Scott Brooks.
We're just going to go down the list and name former Wizard coaches.
I'm cool with it if you are.
But I did want to get to this, and I don't know if this changes your opinion, but there were a couple people who were like, well, Ace Bailey's not going to Philly because Paul George, Podcast right. P, was podcasting today. And this is what he had to say regarding Ace Bailey and his lack of willingness to work out for teams.
If I'm Ace Bailey, I can't get mad if my stock drops. He's canceled all workouts. Like, he hasn't worked out for any team.
Not one team?
No.
That's crazy.
He hasn't worked out for any
team. He's tripping.
I think they made a big deal because we were scheduled to work him out and he canceled the day up. But he hasn't worked out for any team.
But
you're not in a position to be making those demands. Make it to the league first.
Do you think that's him or the people around him?
It's for sure the people
around him.
The people around him. I don't think they're going about it the right way.
That, again, is just seems bold.
That's a kid that's been paid in college. Bro, I got money. I don't care. Like, I would tell you where I want to go. I got money now. This is a business. If I'm going to put my money behind you, I need to know that you're going to represent us well. it's almost the me before the team, before he's on a team. He's not wrong for wanting to be a number one option. I'm with him all the way. The way of going about it is just not right.
Hmm. Sounds like he wants Ace Bailey to be his teammate there, Will Hill.
All right. I mean, he's not crushing the kid. He's more, you know, questioning his representation, which I think is fair. And I actually agree with just about everything he said, but I just have a hard time taking. I mean, look in the mirror first. You're making a lot of money. Your team is picking seventh in the draft. You were supposed to be the missing piece. So I just have a hard time when these players are this much of a disappointment. And you're like, how does a Sixer fan feel hearing that? Like, hey, don't worry about this. Get worried about yourself before you start talking about these other players. So the source of it, I don't know. That would just rub me the wrong way if I'm the Sixers. You know, the Clippers he didn't deliver for. And again, he's not wrong about any of this stuff, but I just think, I don't know, sometimes these guys lack self-awareness.
Yeah, Jay Billis was quoted as saying, I wouldn't schedule something and then cancel out. That's a question of professionalism, but he's 18 years old.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's navigating the process for the first time, so I'm not bothered by that too much. So there you go. All right. I did also want to play you this. So this was Jonathan Givony earlier today, and yesterday on the show, I was saying, if I'm Oklahoma City, maybe I get a little aggressive, right? They've got three picks in the draft this year. Sure. They've got, I believe, four or five draft picks, first-round draft picks next year. So do we see them get aggressive? They're sitting there, I believe, with the 15th pick in tomorrow's night's draft. Let me double-check exactly what they have. They have 15, 25, and 44 tomorrow. Next year, they have an unprotected first from the Clippers, a top four protected first from Houston, which you would imagine would convey, a top four protected first from Philadelphia, a top five protected first from Denver. That's in 2027. But this was Jonathan Givony on the possibility of Sam Presti being maybe a little aggressive tomorrow night.
I keep hearing rumblings that the Thunder are trying to move up. They have 15, 24, 44. They could package all three of those picks, look to move up four or five slots, maybe six to Toronto. It's not clear on their roster that they have any real needs right now, so they can afford to take a swing on a high upside prospect who fits that defensive DNA that won them a championship. Someone like Noah Esenge, like a Colin Murray Boyles, like a Johan Berenger, a young teenager who knows how to defend, knows how to bring physicality, knows how to play without the ball, all characteristics that the Oklahoma City Thunder covet. And these guys have been doing a lot of work. They've been conducting many workouts. I think they're going to be ready on Wednesday.
I would love it if they were aggressive. You know, keep kind of the foot on the throttle, however you want to define it, Will. Look, this is a team that has stockpiled a ton of picks. They're way ahead of schedule now that the champs. Quick turnaround here on this rebuild. And at some point, you can't utilize all these picks, right? They've got their entire roster set. I would love for Sam Presti to be aggressive tomorrow night. And if he sees someone dropping, if they went out and acquired them. Because, look, at some point, here's what's going to happen. All of these players, the Shea Gilgeous-Alexanders, the Jalen Williams, the Chet Holmgren, they're all going to be expensive. So at some point, these pieces are going to go away. Why not try to hit again and trust your scouting, which they've done such a good job with over the years?
Totally agree. And you're doing the show with a sports book behind you. It reminds me, they remind me of, you walk into a sports book and you've hit a bunch of bets, or you hit a parlay, you got that extra money in your pocket. You know, more often than not, bettors are going to go up to the window, up to the kiosk and spend some of that money. So OKC's in a position to do that. Now the question from a betting standpoint, what's the target? Because I don't get the sense, and Givony kind of hit it, I don't get the sense they're swinging for like the fourth, fifth, third pick in the draft, although they've got the assets to pretty much do whatever they want. They've got a lot of flexibility. It sounds like he mentioned nine, which would mean, I don't know, I know the kid Coward from Washington State's got a lot of upside. He mentioned some of the names. Now that we think they're in the mix to move up, the question is who and how does that affect it? It'd be interesting.
Yeah, is it going to be someone like Noah Esenge, who seems to be dropping a little bit? We'll ask our next guest about the possibility of him dropping. Luke Swain at Vegas Refund will give us his thoughts on how to attack the NBA draft. All the rumors that are out there, we'll try to diversify and digest all of them that are out there. Hey, folks, EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling
gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today, edgeboost.bet, with the promo code PRIME. Deposit $25 and EdgeBoost will match the deposit.